listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. Hosted by high-stakes headhunter, author, and professional speaker, Scott Love.
Well, hey, everyone. This is Scott Love. Thanks for joining me again on the Rainmaking Podcast. I'm excited to have you here. Well, several years ago, I got invited by a friend of mine to a dinner in Washington, D.C. The purpose was just to go and meet other people. I thought, why not? Looks like fun. It turned out to be hosted by our guest today, who is a natural connector, a natural networker. In fact, one of the things he does, not as a business, just as a service to other people, is to bring people from different non-competitive industries together for dinners. He does this in some of the major markets like New York, Washington, Philadelphia, also in LA, and even in Boston. And he's looking to expand that nationally. But that's not why he's here today. It's not his business. It's something that he does just because he is a natural connector. Our guest today is Mike Regina. Mike's a close friend of mine. He's an entrepreneur, a philanthropist, a family man, a team player, and a leader that thrives on watching the masses and doing the opposite. Mike is also a successful professional speaker. And when you hear him today, if you ever have any sort of conference where you're looking for someone, you want to reach out to him because he brings good content to you. I'm skeptical when I hear of people who are speakers because, well, what are they really doing? Well, he's someone that's doing things and he knows a lot. His entrepreneurial journey started when he launched a car wash and detailing business in high school. So he understands at a young age that working for others would put him in a box and be a lid on his achievements. So he continued his unrelenting entrepreneurial drive by co-founding multiple companies, including Big Sky Enterprises, which is a construction management firm, also Global Post Auditing Solutions, which is a leader and disruptor in the transportation freight solutions to Fortune 500 companies. Mike currently resides in Haddonfield, New Jersey, with his wife and three kids. Surfing, golfing, and exercising still keep his competitive blood flowing, as they have since his youth. When he's not fostering his personal and professional community development, he's often found in the athletic field supporting his kids. I'd like to introduce you to my close friend, Mike Regina. I've got with me on the show today a good friend of mine, Mike Regina, and today we're going to talk about how to crush virtual networking. Mike, thanks for joining me on the show.
Scott, thank you so much for having me on today. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, and Mike, I'm really glad to get the golf update. That's good to hear that the courses are open where you are, and let's start playing each other for money when we get a chance to see each other again. How does that sound?
I can't wait. I'm just going to bring my deposit slips.
I'll bring stacks of cash. I'll just give them to you now. So people that are listening to the show, this is recorded at the time of the crisis where people are starting to adapt and businesses are adapting. People are working at home and all sales is changing. Any sort of business to business activity is not done in person anymore and everything is virtual. And today our topic is how to crush virtual networking. And let's kind of get some fundamentals in place, Mike. Tell me about, in general terms, what's the purpose of networking? And even how would you define networking?
Sure. I mean, you know, networking is really, at the end of the day, the ability to be able to connect with people. I think, you know, when you look at it from just the purpose standpoint, I really have like three things that are really the reason why people network. Number one is to connect, right? Mm-hmm. Because I believe that your network is your net worth. And in order to grow your business, to grow your brand, to grow whatever it is that you're looking to grow, you need to connect with people. Number two is to know them, right? I'm a people person. I love people and really want to get a chance to know them. You know, it brings joy to me personally, but especially on the professional front. Mm-hmm. So, and then number three really is to find out who they need to meet. I want to know who they need to meet because I want to be a value add to someone. I just don't want to be that person that just comes in and just gives them a card and says my name, my business, what I do, and I'll see you later. I really want to find out who they are and who they want to meet.
So wait a minute. I thought the purpose of networking was for me to sell them all my stuff. I thought the purpose of networking was for me to say, listen, I want you to hear about me, about my offerings. I want to pitch you. I want you to buy my stuff. I mean, isn't that what we really want, right?
I mean, sales 101 is not pitching anything. Really, at the end of the day, it's educating. It's also being a good listener and really being a solution, right? That's why businesses are formed, is to be a solution. And that's what networking should be. You should be a solution for someone in terms of how to help them get to where they want to go.
So let me kind of synthesize some of the things that you mentioned. I like this. Businesses are formed to become a solution. I think that's brilliant. I think that's a fundamental concept that a lot of people, if they're working in a business as a sales rep and business to business, the focus can be too much on themselves. Like, I want to sell this. I want to get them to choose me instead of looking for the solution. So let me kind of back up a little bit here. You mentioned that your network is your net worth. Give me some examples. What have you seen in your life in the things that you've been involved in where that wide net has yielded results? What are some examples of that?
Absolutely. So I'm fortunate and blessed to be able to have three companies. So mm-hmm. I have a construction management company, which is 100% referral based. So literally all of our business is through an introduction. And all of that was built, one is obviously delivering a great product and service, but two, through networking. And because of that, we've been able to be successful in that regards. My other company, which focuses on post-auditing of freight payments, and we service Fortune 500 companies, almost 50% of that business is through our network. So, you know, it's important that people recognize that, one, okay, I've been able to help a lot of people, over the years. I connect thousands of people a year. I do, you know, doing that consistently over the years, delivering a great product, even though I'm switching different industries, because people know me and what I've been able to do for them, they're willing to be able to give if I ask. For example, you know, hey, guess what? I know I've been, doing construction. I'm now in this business. Would you mind making an introduction? Mike, I'd be happy to. Boom, done. And then, you know, my third business with Mike Regina, where I do professional motivational speaking on relationship marketing strategies, 100% referral based. So your network is hands down your net worth. And then if I could just expand on that, even on the personal side, I've been able to experience so many amazing things because of the people that I've met over the years,
right?
It's not just dollars and cents. It's also people and experiences.
This is great. Let me kind of go over some of the things that you mentioned. Within your construction business, you mentioned that's all referral. You mentioned your other business, your auditing post. What's your business name in that area again?
Yeah, it's Global Post Auditing Solutions.
Right. So when you audit a company's expenses, you find areas where they're spending too much and you get it's all. And you mentioned it before at some of your meetings. You call it a benefits-based solution or something like that?
Yeah. So basically what we do is we find payment errors. So on duplicate payments, we'll go and identify it and then recover on their behalf and we split it. So it's a gain share model.
Yeah, that's right. That's a gain share model. I love that. There's no money up front. It's if you deliver value and here it is. So it's a net win for your clients, which is amazing. And I like that attitude too. I'm not surprised that you're doing so well and that's your business model.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. When you were starting these businesses, did you set out with the intention of, I want these to be referral-based businesses and this is my action plan for building my referral network? Did you come up with action steps, a strategy, a plan to build that referral base? Or was it kind of intuitive and you just kind of built it as you walked forward?
I think, you know, right off the bat, our first, you know, my construction company, we've been in business, we're celebrating 17 years. So I was in my 20s. And when we got our first deal, that was just because of a relationship that we had. So I noticed right then and there, off the bat, first project that we received was because of a relationship. So I saw the value of basically a network right then and there. So that really was the foundation for me going forward that, hey, guess what? There is a lot of value in network and networking. Mm-hmm. So it's all about delivering value. And those people that we did our first project with, we were able to deliver value with them prior to even starting our company.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
So you talk about when you speak, and I'm sure you bring your experiences to the front of your conversations with your audiences, your relationship marketing strategies. That's brilliant. I've never really considered it like that, relationship marketing strategies. What are some examples of relationship marketing strategies?
Yeah, I think number one is like, okay, we're going to talk about the purpose again. Really, I mean, relationship marketing strategies is really number one, knowing that it's all about the give, right? There's givers and there's takers.
Right.
And while a taker can have success, it's going to be short term. A giver, you're going to be building a long term legacy. It's going to galvanize a relationship. It's going to open up the door for opportunities, right? And the beauty of that too is that it's going to give you the new opportunities down the road where you don't have to work as hard. Like, you have to work as hard, but you don't have to sell because the relationship's there. Whereas a taker, typically people come in and they go, you know what? This guy's out for one thing and one thing only, and that's just for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not there to deliver value. So the relationship marketing strategy, one of them is to be a giver. And what I've found is that when you have a give first mentality, okay, and people recognize that and you deliver great service over and over again, you actually eliminate competition. Hmm. You eliminate.
What do you mean by that? Tell me about that.
So there are projects that we've done in the past where they're like, I'm not even going anywhere else. I'm just utilizing Big Sky. I'm just utilizing Global. Why do I want to go anywhere else? I already know what I'm going to get with you. And that's because of a relationship marketing strategy that I created, which was to be a give first, right? We also do that even in our, let's say, pre-marketing sales of projects. We go in and we give first. We help them. We get them to understand all of the numbers up front. How can we be a value add prior to even selling or signing on the dotted line? It's just continuing to give over and over again. And because of that, and because of, you know, let's say a relationship marketing strategy, you can increase your sales. Research has found you can increase your sales up to 33% based on your social capital or your network.
Right.
For me, it's higher, but I'm just saying, like, that's on the average, up to 33%. I mean, that's incredible. Awesome. I mean, even if you had the opportunity to increase your business by 5%,
yeah,
wouldn't you do whatever Absolutely. It took to do that?
That's right.
So that relationship marketing strategy, I mean, when you galvanize relationships, I mean, obviously you're going to have to deliver every time, but that eliminates competition. So I think that's just so critical in, you know, having that understanding.
So this puts people in a whole new category where they might not have been brought in to bid on a project. It might be a negotiated project, whatever it is, whether it's legal Yep. services or a construction project or management consulting or whatever, where because that referral, and as you know, that referral is basically an endorsement where trust is borrowed from one person and lent to somebody else. Mm. And that connection is made based upon that bridge of trust. I like the idea of what you said about relationship marketing strategies. The thing I got out of that was that that eliminates competition. If you want to eliminate competition, you focus on the give. By focusing on that long-term legacy, you don't have to work as hard. You've got some really great content here. What do you think, on the virtual front, what are some of the mistakes of virtual networking?
Sure. Listen, I think it's important to understand time, right? There's mm-hmm. there's 24 hours in a day. And I think one of the mistakes that people make in the virtual networking or networking in general is connecting without purpose, right? They take a shotgun approach where they just say, hey, I'm going to go and try and reach out to everyone, instead of being laser focused and identifying right. who exactly that they want to target and then pursue that way. Number two, and I kind of touched on this, is the mistakes is having a taker mindset. Right. Again, the research shows that yes, you can be successful, but again, you're going to have to continue to build your pipeline over and over and over again. And you're going to lose business that way.
Right.
It's just right. people don't want to be around those that are just in it for themselves. And then I think jumping to the ask before the give, you know, we kind of talked about that earlier. I'm amazed at how many people want to ask me for something before giving me something.
Right.
You know, you see that a lot on LinkedIn. Okay. So you'll get, you know, people that will reach out to you on LinkedIn and say, hey, Mike, you know, this is what I do. You know, would love for you to one, follow me, check out my podcast, check out this, check out that. Happy to answer any questions that you have.
Right.
Really? Do you think I'm even going to give you a little bit of time when you're not right. even giving me any value first?
Right. That's right.
So, I mean, those are really the three big things, is connecting without purpose, having a taker mindset, and jumping to the ask before the give.
Yeah. So let me write connecting without purpose, having a taker mindset. And what was the last one you said?
Jumping to the ask before the give.
Jumping to the ask. I like the way you have this set up in kinesthetic words. Jumping to the ask without a give. Is that what you said?
Yeah, jumping to the ask before the give.
Yeah, that's great.
Always lead with the give.
You know, this is interesting. I do a lot of work within my legal recruiting practice where I'm working closely with the law firms and the partners I'm putting in front of them. And basically, I create a mutual satisfaction of needs. I channel the self-interest of a partner so it aligns at the nexus of law firm strategy. And hopefully they connect. And as they get to know each other through interviews, I want each side to put the odds in their favor. And one thing I'll tell candidates as they're talking with the firm and the leadership, when you're being interviewed, you're also interviewing them, but you want to ask questions in a way that shows them your true character. So you want to make sure you ask questions like, how quickly can I become a contributing partner to my colleagues? What are opportunities that you see I can bring my expertise in so it will bear fruit for my future colleagues in the firm? Because when you're working on a team, as you know, the focus isn't on me, it's on the team. It's on the organization. And if two variables exist, if you trust your leaders and if you trust your colleagues, then you can take your eyes off of yourself and you can focus on what's in the team's best interest, knowing that hopefully that rising tide rises and everybody benefits from that. What do you think, kind of taking your concepts and putting it in some action steps? And I know we want to talk about specific action steps later. We'll get to that later. But what are some general ideas about crushing the virtual networking with the focus being on virtual right now? What are some of the things related to this unique environment that we're in where we still want to build our network? We still want to build our brand. We want to show the world that we are clear in our communication to them about being a giver. We don't want to have a taker mindset. How can we do that in a virtual sense?
Sure. You know, now that we're in this new environment or been pushed into it, right? For those that are champions of the face-to-face, I mean, honestly, I'm praying for them. You know, that think like the only way that business gets done, if I get a chance to sit in front of the person, touch them. And while you might not be able to beat the effectiveness of a face-to-face, you can certainly beat the efficiency, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And you're even sharing that about what's going on in your business, right? You were typically just focused on a couple cities.
Yeah.
And now you're expanding across the country virtually.
Right. Yeah. So, I was forced to innovate just like we all were. And it challenged preconceived ideas that the only way I can gain the trust of a partner is by meeting with that person in over a coffee or a happy hour. And that's why I just stuck to DC and New York because I could be with them. And whenever I plan my trips to New York, I try to get 3-4 meetings a day. And now we're busy. We're busier because it's all virtual. Sometimes I'll do Zoom calls with people and those work well. And I've also seen, in terms of how business gets done, and this can also apply to any type of general networking, but in terms of interviews that we're setting up, in many ways, it's much faster because it's easier to get 4 people to clear their calendar slot for the same time, even though they don't have to be in the same room physically. They can all connect on Zoom. Is that what you're seeing also within your businesses?
100%. And honestly, I've already been doing this for years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I finally determined that I can't be everywhere. Right. I got too much going on, you know, with multiple businesses, family, kids, the whole deal. I can no longer meet 3 or 4 people a day, you know, whether it be for breakfast, for coffee, lunch, dinner, whatever it may be. And just think about the time impact on that, right? You talked about you would go up to New York City or DC and you're meeting 3 or 4 people. Well, that's taking all day.
That's right. That's right.
Right. When you move to a virtual environment and you're intentional with it, well, instead of meeting 3 or 4 people, why not meet 12?
Right. That's right.
So now you're increasing your productivity, your opportunities 3-4% or 3-4 times.
Yeah.
I mean, just the numbers alone right there will tell you that your business is going to increase.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so would you rather meet 3 or 4? Would you rather meet 12? I mean, we know that.
Right. Just if you take that concept and increase on that, and you look for other areas to make increases as well. Let's say you increase your offerings, you increase your margin in certain products, you increase the number of people you talk to, the number of people per hour you talk to, the quality of your presentation. Now you're getting into the area of geometric expansion where things are just going to quantumly change in a positive way for people.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%. And here's the thing too. Think about conversations that you typically have when you're face-to-face with someone. Okay. It's going to be 95%. You know, you're kind of shooting the breeze 5%, like you're really getting down to business.
Right.
Why not, when you're going to do a Zoom call or whatever, virtually on the phone, whatever that may be, you're going to be more intentional. You're going to have intentional conversation in a shorter period of time, right? and manage that by also managing those expectations of, hey, look, you know what? I'm not looking to meet for an hour. I'm looking to meet for 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
And now you're just getting right to it. So if you can do that, again, now you're increasing not only your ability to gain new business or new opportunity, you're also allowing yourself more opportunity and time to be able to service your existing clients.
That's right.
Which that becomes a challenge.
So Mike, you've got obviously some really good ideas here. I want to hear more about your speaking business because, you know, I used to do a lot of speaking and I still do some, not a whole lot because I like doing partner recruiting. I love doing the deals, but hey, I wouldn't mind a trip to Vegas when things get better and, you know, speak to people and,
sure,
and hang out and play cards for a little while. But tell me about the types of groups that you get in front of. Tell me about some of the presentations that you give and, sure, and a little bit more about that.
Yeah. You know, as I shared, I do professional motivational speaking on relationship marketing strategies. And some of the topics that I speak on are how to take your network from zero to hero.
Right.
You know, how to deliver the ultimate experience. You know, I am a huge Disney fan. I mean, I'm Disney Vacation Club member, all that. And, right, and they are, you know, the model, the epitome of what that is, of delivering the ultimate experience.
That's
and
right,
we've based all of our businesses on that right there. So it's just, to me, there's nothing more important than people and businesses understanding that they have to deliver the ultimate experience in every transaction, in every interaction. So, you know, touch on that. And the other topic that I absolutely love to speak on is igniting your passion, finding your purpose. Those two right there are so critical to the success of not only the individual, but also the business as well. So when you have those two combined, it's already proven, you know, just from, you know, research that people are going to be more effective by like up to like 40%.
Wow. That's great. Have you done many virtual presentations on either one of those areas?
I have. I've actually, you know, I had numerous keynotes and presentations, workshops that I was going to be doing for businesses,
right,
you know, prior to COVID, and they've been just pushed back. So I've been doing a lot of webinars, you know, right now. And guess what? You have to change. You have to pivot. You have to adjust. You know, one of the things that I always, you know, love to touch on or inspire people on is that, look, you can't control what happens around you, but you can control two things, your attitude and your actions. So guess what? You adjust, you still maintain the focus and the mindset, and you stay encouraged and you find new ways to be effective and efficient. Guess right, what? This is going to allow me to be able to do more with less.
That's right.
Right? And yep, you kind of touched on that just mm-hmm, with you. Look, guess what? I mean, virtually you can talk to more people. Guess what? I can do business in multiple areas. I can have three different webinars in one day. One can be in Dubai, one can be in California, and the other can be in Brazil. I mean,
That's right.
Just making that up. Instead of just having to be there, I can accomplish those three things. So think about your reach and opportunity from an ROI perspective.
And that's what I've seen right now is that the crisis itself, not to sound like we're exploiting anything, but there are opportunities that bubble to the surface in any big change in the world. And you think of it as this is an inflection point. And that's what I did within my business, like I was telling you before, is that I learned this from 9/11, that when the pie gets smaller, there's still a pie. And it's not going to go to everybody, but it's going to go to those people that understand where the opportunities are, what their uniqueness and their distinction is, and how to articulate that in a narrative that's appealing to people on a personal and an emotional level. And if they can do that, they're going to capture some business. And that's what I've always believed, is that a crisis, there's opportunities. And I think you have to grieve. I think you have to go through all the grieving steps. I know what they are. I'm not a psychologist, but I know how to work the Google machine. You can find the grieving steps, you know, of grieving
right,
through change. You have to go through that. And then you're ready to fall into a fighting stance to go forward. And my own personal belief is that I want every crisis, I want to be able to get through it so I can look back on it and say, I'm glad that happened because I wouldn't have figured out this, which we've already discovered within my own recruiting business, just from some changes that we've made. So let me kind of circle back to our topic and to what you offer. I appreciate you talking about your offerings. We're going to put all of your content information on the show notes. So if anybody listening, if you want to reach out to Mike for the work that he does, I'm sure he'd be happy to talk to you about that. But let's kind of summarize the three action steps. What are three action steps that you think people can take to increase their expertise in virtual networking?
I think number one is to be memorable, right? You need to be memorable, and that's a mindset. So if you're going to be on virtual calls, you want people to feel like they are right in front of you, right? You want to just have them feel your energy, your excitement. So project your voice, smile, because it lifts your mood and it also impacts their receiving and of your tone of voice. Even in some cases, I stand up on a phone. If I'm on a phone call, I'm standing up because I want to be energy, you know, focused. And I love the quote of Maya Angelou where it says, people will forget what you said, what you did, but they will never forget how you made them feel. Be memorable and make them feel like they are the most important person in the world at that time.
That's great. So, I just want to take that, put it in a bottle, you know, and that's it. So tell me about number two.
Number two is be efficient, right? We've already discussed how it's impacted your business, my business as well. Be efficient. And I love to talk about the 3 5s. So as I shared earlier, guess what? You don't have to meet with someone for an hour, for 60 minutes. I'd rather you meet with someone on a 15-minute basis and do that by doing the 3 5s. 5 minutes of catching up, 5 minutes learning about them, and then 5 minutes about yourself. So when you start doing that, and it's going to take time and it's going to take practice and discipline, but the more and better that you get at doing that, the more intentional and the more effective, the higher ROI is going to all start coming in, right? So you're also being a good steward of not only your time, but their time as well. You're being respectful.
That's great. So, and what's the third action step?
Sure. Be you, right? Don't try and be someone that you're not. Be you, share you, let the world know that, hey, guess what? I'm Scott Love. This is who I am. And this is, you know, what I'm about and what I do, right?
Right.
Just be a human, especially in the virtual world.
This is great content, Mike. Mike Regina, thank you for joining us today. I'm sure we'll have you back on to talk about other things. Thank you for sharing our wisdom. And I've really enjoyed having you here today, Mike.
I thank you so much for having me. And hopefully I brought some value and would love to be back on the podcast.
That sounds great. Count on it then. Thank you, Mike.
Excellent. Excellent. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. For more information about our recruiting services for international law firms, visit our website at attorneysearchgroup.com. To inquire about having Scott speak at your next convention, conference, sales meeting, or executive retreat, visit therainmakingpodcast.com.